Hey, welcome back to Politico Tech. Today's Thursday, April 4th. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. There's a medieval city just outside Brussels where senior U.S. and European officials will meet today and tomorrow. It's the latest gathering of the Trade and Technology Council, a body that President Joe Biden set up to repair fractures in the transatlantic relationship after 4 years of President Donald Trump. But depending on what happens in November, Trump could be coming back and bringing with him renewed fights with the European Union over tariffs, defense funding, and more. Mark Scott is my colleague in London, and he tells me that change is coming to the Trade and Technology Council with or without Trump 2.0. I caught Mark in a hotel lobby during a reporting trip here in the U.S. to talk about the future of the TTC, both the meetings today and beyond. Here's our conversation. Hey, Mark, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Good to be here.
So this gathering of the Trade and Technology Council kicks off today in Belgium. What outcomes are really expected here?
So yeah, as you say, this is sort of the sixth iteration of this whole get together. There's a variety of topics that will be discussed, and we're expecting an announcement sometime sort of early morning Eastern on Friday. The plan is multiple fold. One is they're going to announce some greater cooperation on AI, the tech topic du jour, if you will. What's going to happen is that the US and Europe are going to try and cooperate more closely on the most advanced forms of the technology made famous by ChatGPT. The idea is to sort of share best practice and sort of really kick the tires on some of these so-called frontier models that are coming down the pike. There's going to be some research and development stuff around quantum, which is sort of a very geeky but important next step in computing power. There's going to be some stuff on social media and foreign interference from Russia and China. There's going to be another announcement around funding telecom equipment purchases and cybersecurity projects in the global south, particularly in Tunisia. The plan with that is to sort of push back against China, who is equally funding those type of projects. And the Europeans and Americans want to sort of provide a counter option for funding, government funding from the Commerce Department in particular, to sort of help push back against China's movement into that space.
So laundry list then of kind of tech topics, which is what we've come to expect, I guess, from the TTC, is like these sort of updates every 6 months on all these areas where the US and EU are trying to coordinate. I'm curious about the AI commitment that we're expecting them to make. You know, do we have a sense of what exactly that's going to look like, especially now that we have the EU AI Act in Europe and we have the Biden administration executive order in the US?
Yeah, I think those two things are incredibly important with what's going to be happening tomorrow, mostly because the AI Act in Europe and the executive order from the White House did lay some sort of regulatory oversight for this technology that didn't exist, say, even 6 months ago. And so what we'll see is there's something in the U.S. called the U.S. AI Safety Institute, which is sort of a group of, you know, AI geeks and technicians looking at this, the sort of the most cutting edge forms of technology. And there is a counterpart in Brussels called the AI Office. And the goal with Brussels and Washington is for these two entities to cooperate more closely. So, you know, they can share resources and knowledge and really provide a sort of a transatlantic alliance on how this tech should evolve.
And is China still like the unnamed boogeyman hanging over all of this? I mean, throughout the TTC's existence, right, it's sort of been this slightly unacknowledged reality that this is the U.S. and Europe trying to create a counterweight to Beijing.
According to the draft communique, which we've seen, China gets mentioned, but only in the trade context. On technology, they refer to it as a non-market economy, which, frankly, everyone knows is China, but for political reasons, they can't name it China.
Right.
So it's still the elephant in the room. I would argue the Europeans have moved more closely towards a hawkish China position proposed by the US, mostly for geopolitical and domestic reasons. So I think, yeah, China is in the room. It's still not getting named, but it's definitely sort of the shadow is bigger.
The timing of this TTC meeting is interesting because it comes as the Digital Services Act and the Digital Markets Act have both now come into effect in Europe. Is that expected to have any impact on how these two governments get along?
I think so. I mean, publicly, they'll say no, because they're not supposed to. But privately, there is an admission that at least the social media regulation under the Digital Services Act from Europe is playing a part, mostly because now Meta, Alphabet, TikTok and the others have to comply with these rules. We're not going to see any type of social media regulation in the US anytime soon. The Europeans have done that through their Digital Services Act. What we're seeing to a degree is Washington piggyback on some, but not all, of those initiatives, primarily about transparency and accountability. So what we'll see published tomorrow is some sort of status update about how outside researchers can access data from these social media platforms based on EU standards, but primarily these researchers are in the US. So there's definitely a transatlantic link there.
Well, I know officials are going to want to keep the attention on these announcements and these pledges that they're making. The reality, though, is that the big elephant in the room will be former President Donald Trump and the idea that he might return to office and kind of upend this transatlantic love fest that we've seen for the last couple of years. What are you hearing about that from folks you talk to?
Yeah, you get this a lot from both the DC and Brussels crowds, that sort of we can make wonderful commitments, but November is a big thing to look at and everything might be out the window come December, right? So I think the US and EU officials are trying to make hay when they can. They are trying to sort of buttress the relationship, make long-term commitments, but in the end, nothing gets past November. And if Trump comes in, all bets are off. That doesn't mean that he won't cooperate with the Europeans on these things, but it's also fair to say that he hasn't taken the most open position when it comes to international alliances, if it's not in the interest of the US. And therefore, yeah, come November, who knows what's going to happen next?
Exactly. You can't understate, I think, the tensions that existed during the Trump administration the first time around in Europe when it comes to tariff wars, fighting over NATO funding, etc. I imagine a lot of folks in Europe are worried about a return to that, a return to kind of the U.S. being almost an adversarial friend in a way.
I think so, although you could argue that the Bidenomics of this current administration have equally been sort of U.S. first, although maybe with a better diplomatic stance on it versus the Trump administration. I think the Europeans during the Trump administration and now with Biden have kind of realized that they can't rely solely on the U.S. for things. But it's also true that the Trump administration on tech policy was actually quite successful, particularly when it came to convincing the Europeans to push back against Huawei, the Chinese telco equipment maker. So I think on the tech issues, yes, who knows what the future Trump administration may do. But I think the Europeans are, frankly, wary of any type of new administration coming in, Biden or Trump, and they are making their own plans about what to do next.
That's such a good point, because on a lot of these tech issues, they've often seen eye to eye, or at least have come around to seeing eye to eye. On the trade side of the equation, it has been a lot bumpier, you know, whether it's electric vehicles or critical minerals. The list of kind of trade irritants is probably not as high as it was during the Trump years, but certainly it's been a presence this whole time under Biden. The U.S., though, isn't the only leadership change that could happen. The EU elections are also coming up later this year. How much of an effect could that have on the future of this transatlantic alliance?
I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Ursula von der Leyen, the current commission president, isn't going anywhere. So she's likely to secure a second term. So she won't move. But I think what will happen is there'll be new commissioners, new personalities in play. And that inevitably leads to frictions. It leads to new relationships being built. And therefore, from a top level, the transatlantic alliance is always going to be strong no matter what, who's in the White House. But the players will change. And that inevitably means things are going to shift.
We'll be right back. In what ways could we see maybe an attitude shift in Europe toward kind of the U.S. and some of the irritants that have existed, mainly on the trade front? But, you know, is there the potential for some stronger backlash here to, even under Biden, these America First policies?
Yeah, I think both on trade and tech, the Europeans aren't going to stick around for the U.S. anymore. The idea of Biden coming and saying America's back from Europe, that era is over, right? So it's a multipolar world now. It's China, it's the US, it's Europe, it's Global South, it's the G20. I think despite the frenemy relationship that the US and EU have, they are still by far the closest allies economically, politically, militarily with the Ukraine crisis and NATO. So that's not going to change. I think where you will see some friction is the inevitable, you know, on tech at least, the inevitable pushback against Europe's new digital rules, the Digital Markets Act, the Digital Service Act. The Commerce Department still sees it as protectionist. The State Department still want to protect U.S. interests. That inevitably leads to friction, even though there's a realization in D.C. now that regulation and legislation is needed, but they just don't want it to be coming from Europe.
If you listen to the U.S. tech industry, they would love to see the Biden administration be much more aggressive toward Europe on some of these tech policies that they see as kind of protectionist and anti-American. Biden has not quite gone as hard as some of them would like, but in a term too, you know, that sort of calculus could certainly change, I think, for the Biden administration. It was interesting to me in the draft communique that both sides kind of acknowledge a change is coming, right? You know, they talk about this idea of how do they build on the foundation of the TTC for future administrations. Do we have a sense of what that actually looks like, how this body is thinking about its next act if there are changes in leadership?
Yeah, I think everyone realizes that the relationships are stronger now based on mid-tier officials WhatsApping each other, signaling each other, messaging each other regularly. That has built up a trust. What doesn't help is having every 6 months a summit where you have to plan, you have to get Antony Blinken scheduled in line, you have to get Catherine Tai on a plane. All that stuff is super difficult to organize and takes up a lot of bandwidth. So I think no matter what happens, the current EU-US Trade and Tech Council structure is going to shift. If it's a Biden administration, I would say it's probably going to go to a once-a-year summit with more sort of behind-the-scenes meetings between unnamed officials. If it's a Trump administration, who knows? But you would suggest that any type of ongoing dialogue on these things, particularly on trade, is going to continue, even if it's in a confidential stance. But I think the current format of the TTC is coming to an end.
And so I guess with that in mind, with the idea that this current format may be coming to an end, one question I sort of have is how effective it's kind of been. I remember when this Trade and Technology Council was first launched, there were a lot of people questioning whether it was necessary, whether it was going to be anything more than just like lipstick on the pig of the EU-US relationship. Certainly that was the case in trade, maybe less so in tech. But as it's kind of looking at a transition, what's your assessment of the progress that it's made?
I actually look at this in my Digital British newsletter that comes out on Thursday, specifically about the success that the TTC has been over the last 3 years. I see this more as a win than a loss. Has it led to big moonshot events and sort of big set piece sort of announcements? No. No one really cares that much about quantum, to be honest. But what I do see a shift is that the Brussels crowd have become more like the DC crowd and vice versa. And that comes from regular meetings, regular updates, and breaking down some of those barriers. So you now have the Europeans being more hawkers in China than they were 3 years ago. And arguably the Americans more willing to regulate tech than they were 3 years ago. And I think that does come to a degree from the Trade and Tech Council meetings, summits, because you just have more interaction. You have more face time with your counterparts, and you're inevitably going to take ideas from the other team and integrate them in your own approach. So I think from that perspective, it's not sort of the fireworks that many people would like, but I do think on par, the TTC has been effective because it has brought that alliance closer in terms of them just being more similar in many different aspects.
Well, Mark, it will be interesting to see how the TTC kind of reinvents itself, or candidly, whether it still exists if we get a return of President Trump. I'm not entirely convinced that they'll keep up their end of these meetings, but appreciate you making time to chat with us today on the podcast.
Good to be here. Thanks.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. I'll see you back here tomorrow.